The first scripture reading this morning is from Acts chapter 16, verses 9 to 15, and 127 in the New Testament. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace. The following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us, and she was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to John, and it is the 14th chapter, verses 23 through 29. Let us listen to the stories that we know with ears wide open. Judas has just spoken to Jesus, and Jesus answered, "Those who love me will be true to my word, and Abba God will love them, and we will come to them and make our dwelling place with them. And those who don't love me don't keep my words. Yet the message you hear is not mine. It comes from Abba God who sent me. This much I have sent to you while I am still with you. But the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom Abba God will send in my name, will instruct you in everything, and she will remind you of all that I have told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. But the kind of peace I give you is not like the world's peace. Don't let your hearts be distressed. Don't be fearful. You've heard me say, 'I am going away, but I will return.' If you really loved me, you would rejoice because I am going to Abba God, for Abba is greater than I. I tell you this now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and pondering of God's holy word. I have found in my nearly 8 years here a lot of similarities between Maine and Michigan. The weather is quite similar. Right down to the snow and the lake effect snows, whether you live on the ocean or the lake, you get the lake effect snows. The weather is very, very similar. It can be beautiful and sunny and 80 degrees in the morning, and by 6 o'clock at night, it's 32, and you're looking for your sweater. The pine trees, just as tall and just as beautiful. The maple syrup is just as delicious. And even though one area that I have lived has huge rocky cliffs, and the other one is sandy, huge cliffs, both of them have a very sharp drop-off to the water. Both states hold an attraction to getting to the water, whether it is the ocean, the big lake, or any one of the countless lakes and rivers in either state. Come this weekend, every year, everyone is heading and trekking to the waterfront. If you haven't noticed the uptick in traffic yet this weekend, I was in Frankfurt yesterday morning at 10:30, and there were 3 open parking spaces at 10:30 in the morning in Frankfurt. The tourists are here. In Maine, we have a colloquialism that says we are hitting the beach. We're just going to go to the water. We are hitting the beach. And even if we are going up to camp, and it doesn't matter in what direction you're heading to camp, you're always going up to camp, it is inferred that camp is on some form of water. It may be a very small river, it may be a creek or a brook, maybe Moosehead Lake, but it's near water. I have not heard here yet in Michigan in the 8 years of a colloquialism referring to getting to the water. And if there is one, please let me know what it is so I can get caught up on my vernacular. So I am going to stick with hitting the beach because that is what I know. And life has always changed after the day of hitting the beach. This morning's reading from Acts is a story of hitting the beach and life-changing spaces. Paul and his small group of followers are trekking through the Roman colonies, and they end up in a district of Macedonia. Paul is originally heading for Asia, but he has a vision of a man asking him to come to Macedonia, pleading for help. It's the only time we hear about this guy in the entire reading. The rest of it becomes Lydia. We hear of Paul hitting the beach and sailing from Taurus to Samothrace, and then he's off to this morning's destination. There appears to be no temple in Macedonia because we hear that on the Sabbath day, Paul leaves the city walls and goes to the river. If there were a temple there, he would not have left the city walls. So this is not a Jewish person-friendly space. He has moved outside the city walls. He's looking for a group of people to pray with. And there he finds a group of women sitting, led by one named Lydia. We know that she is a worshiper of God. We are introduced to her as a dealer in purple cloth. So we know that she's a businesswoman and likely to be a successful one. She's in charge of her own household. Her business is dealing with this extravagant material, this beautiful purple cloth, which is reserved for the elite throughout Macedonia, but specifically in Philippi, where she is. She works with the upper crust of the city. The very fact that she is named at all is significant to her place within the community and within this story. Lydia on this day has hit the beach. More than once, more than just a place to splash in the water or to take a nap, the banks of the river are known throughout our scriptures to be a place of nourishment and a place of spiritual renewal. Think for a moment, does your favorite Bible story have water in it somewhere? 95% of them do. This seeming chance meeting is only possible because Lydia and Paul dare to take time to go down to the river. They moved past the normative behaviors. They moved outside of what was normal for that day. We have both genders worshiping together. These women are at the riverside without male supervision, so for them to speak to other men was not so proper. They are both outsiders to Macedonia. She has come to Philippi to deal with her fabrics. He's there because of a vision. But they're different kinds of outsiders. They're holding different ethics and understandings of what society is supposed to be. So to have them come together is astounding all on its own. They move outside the city, changing the pace and the rhythm of their lives in a way that enables them to embrace this new vision from God. What a fitting text on this weekend as we launch onto a new season, another season of summer and tourism and people. Perhaps we can make our summer plans. We might also consider in which ways we are opening ourselves spiritually to grow and encounter God in times of prayer. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you that I believe that we can find God anywhere and everywhere. And sometimes, though, I have to hit the beach to fully be immersed in the sacredness. I have to move out of my usual places. I have to get out of my study. I have to get out of my car. which is where I do a lot of my praying. Sometimes I have to physically move myself to a new location in order to see what God is really up to in my life. And I wonder if that was not the same thing for Lydia. So indulge me for a moment. Some of my favorite places of hitting the beach. It's the outdoor ministry camp in South Gardner, Maine. And let me say that right, Gardner, South Gardner, Maine. And it is on Lake Cabasconti. And it is a beautiful outdoor ministry space. It's a long boardwalk and cabins. And at night, you can hear the loons cry to each other across the lake. That is where I heard that I needed to go to seminary. And it wasn't from anyone else's mouth except for the people that were supporting me, but where I heard my call to actually say yes in the upper parking lot while I was talking to the dean of the school. I was at camp. Sea Point Beach in Kittery Point, Maine. It is not really a private beach, but it is a town beach. And if you don't have a dump sticker on your car, you don't get to park down there. I have learned how to put my R's back into my words. But you don't get to park down there. It is a town beach. And I'll tell you all later what dump stickers are. They're literally, you get into the dump with them so you can take care of your own refuse. But at Sea Point Beach, as the fog is leaving that small cove, and it is not a sheltered cove at all, you can see the seals pop up and play off the rocks. And I have sat there many a day and made some really big family decisions in that space near the water. And then there's Moose River, which runs into Moosehead Lake, which is our biggest inland lake. And that's a place where I go just to remember that I am a beloved child of God. You cannot forget that you are a beloved child of God as you sit on the shores of Moosehead Lake. Now I can find a place of water anywhere and be happy. But these are the places that hold special sacredness to me. And I really can't explain how or why, but they just do. Last week, I was engaged with and enjoying a pastor's retreat at Tower Hill Camp down in Sawyer, Michigan. From the camp, it's a real easy, if you haven't been there, it's a real easy half-mile walk right down to the lakeshore, right down to Lake Michigan. Wednesday night, I had decided that I had had enough of group activities and I was going to just take a walk down to the lake just to be. And being the good human being that we are at camp, I had to tell some other big people where I was going in case somebody said, "Where did Patty go?" They knew where I was. Two people asked if they could join me. And I loved the fact that they asked if they could join me because they knew that I was trekking down to be by myself for a while. And to my two new friends, I said, "Sure, come along." We go for the walk, we get down to the lake, and I stop very briefly on the shoreline, take off my shoes and socks, roll up my pant legs, and walk into Lake Michigan. At which point my two new friends go, "You're crazy." And I went, "That may be so, but this water is still warmer than the Atlantic in August, so we're good, right? No matter how cold you think Lake Michigan is, head to the Atlantic, North Atlantic." But I stood there with the waves lapping at my calves, soaking my rolled up blue jeans, and just watching the sun go down. And what a holy place that was, in a no-name beach on Lake Michigan, but where we find the sacredness and the holy in the everyday places, down by the water. And unless you are truly aquaphobic, I bet you have places that are just like that, that you go to. Back to the reading of Acts, though, this morning. In verse 14, we hear that the Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. I wonder if Lydia was truly hungry for some words of hope, or if she just wanted to hear like-minded people praise God. No doubt, Paul and his missionary companions spoke about the wonders of the resurrection and the joy of the living Christ. That is what Paul was out to do with Silas and Timothy and Barnabas and everybody else. Here, though, we don't get the lengthy account of Paul's exhortation or his sermon And perhaps, and I say this both anxiously and fully aware of the irony, what exactly Paul was saying wasn't the point. What was most meaningful is that Lydia and the others were in a positive place and had an open heart to receive the good news that was presented to them. So where do you go to be in the best place to receive God's good news? Is it here in the nave seeking sanctuary? Is it with a cup of coffee or another beverage on your deck, sitting and watching creation move around you? Watching the waves lap up against the shoreline with your toes in the sand? This morning's reading prompts us to carve out sacred spaces in our lives and engage in prayer that can be life-changing. Now, the story moves very quickly past whatever Paul and his troop were saying, and we hear that Lydia and her household were baptized, and she moves from opening her heart to God to opening her home to God's missionaries. We imagine her to embark on a ministry, I can talk this morning, of hospitality, a ministry of worship and learning, becoming a model of leadership in the early church. If it were today, we would say that Lydia was a new church plant. She's a new church start. In a few more verses down the line in Acts, Paul and Silas return to her house for more hospitality, more encouragement, after they have been released from prison. The story of Lydia is sometimes characterized as evidence of the first European converts to Christianity. True or not true, can't really say. We don't know. She's not the first one to be baptized outside of the River Jordan, because we have the story of the eunuch the chapter before this. But it's a good example of baptism and conversion and all this holiness. But it's also seen as a powerful example of female leadership in the early church. But as inspiring as these two attributes are, I am most compelled by the fact that all of this was brought about by a willingness to set aside a time of prayer and reflection. I read this text as an invitation to us today to hit the beach, or as the gospel song we heard this morning, go down to the river. Go down to the river to pray. A month ago, while I was working on the hymns for today, and yes, I do it a month in advance, I was reading the scriptures, and I was immediately drawn to that song for an anthem today, Down to the River to Pray. And I reached right out to Sarah, and it's like, hey, Sarah, do you think that we can pull this off? And by we, I mean you. Can you find some voices to do this? And we talked about it, and of course it happens, because we love our music around here, and all of you are so willing to engage in it. Down to the River to Pray, the first time I really truly heard it, it was sung by Alison Krauss in the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Perhaps you know both of those spaces. In the movie, this song interrupts the three convicts, Everett, Delmar, and Pete, as they're trying to plan their next steps, because they're in a bind on their escape from prison. And they're all just trying to get to what they call home. This scene, if you're watching the movie, has countless of people walking down to the river, wearing white robes, singing, I went down to the river to pray. Oh mother, oh father, oh sister, oh brother, who's going to wear the starry crown? Who's going to wear the robe? Good Lord, show me the way. And as they get down there, they're baptizing some of the people while the rest of them stand there in their beautiful robes and sing. At the river, they find renewal and emerge refreshed for the journey of faith before them. That is baptism, right? Refreshed for the journey. Delmar, the middle convict, if we will, is so swept up in the moment that he races into the water and emerges ecstatic with the fact that he has been forgiven. That's all it took, was for him to go to the waters and be dunked, and he is forgiven. And Delmar then calls to his friends, come on, boys, the water is great. Come on in. Pete joins him and responds with an ear-to-ear grin. That is what it looks like and feels to be swept up in the gospel. Everett, the leader of this frilly trio, refuses to join in. He's like, I don't have time for this. When we go down to the river, when we hit the beach, all things are possible. We can be changed. We too can lay aside long-held assumptions, preconceptions, and our prejudices. Like Paul, we too can have the vision to go beyond our four walls of our church, beyond the boundaries of our community, beyond state lines, but better yet, maybe we can go beyond our preconceived boundaries that separate us from each other. Those that separate us from each other, and let God's ways be known upon the earth, in this building, in this community, in our lives. We are those people who can imagine all of this and more because we have these stories. We have Paul and Lydia, and they had to be scared silly down by that riverside, breaking with all of convention. Lydia was baptized only because she and Paul were able to suspend their understandings of what their cultures had taught them. They were willing to suspend all the rules, all the regulations and customs that governed and controlled their world as they lived it and saw it in a day-to-day basis. Please note, and I highly underline this part, Paul and Lydia are not extraordinary people. They are just everyday people putting one foot in front of the other, trying to do the very best for themselves and the community in which they live. They are just like us. We are just like them. Can we imagine all of this and more? Can we see ourselves opening up our hearts and minds to strangers? Can we imagine old hurts and old wounds being healed by the banks of a river that flows through the city of God? Can we open our hearts and let the light of Christ shine in to all the dark corners and drive out all of our fear, all of our anxiety, all of our worry, all of our, you fill in the word that you're carrying at the moment, and take it out of our midst? Can we allow ourselves to be drawn closer and deeper into a world where God's shalom, where God's peace, not only resides, but grows and flourishes? So let's join Lydia, Paul, and all of the troop that was gathered there at the riverside. Let's ask ourselves how we might be nudged by the Holy Spirit out of our comfort zone, out of the city gates, if you will, and into the spirit of prayer that opens us up to the possibilities for God's transforming grace and radical good news to speak to us and through us into the healing and building up of God's community here on earth. Let's go down to the river to pray today and every day. Amen.